being dudes here on the Draft Dudes podcast presented by Locked On. It's Joe Marino and Kyle Krabs from the Draft Network, and we are your hosts here on this Monday edition of the show. We're going to tie a ribbon on our positional series breakdowns for the 2020 NFL Draft, talking about safeties today, unless Kyle, you're willing to do a specialist podcast for me where we get into long snappers, punters, and kickers. I'm guessing you're not going to want to do that. And by the way, congrats on the Mock Draft Madness championship belt that is yours.
Thank you. I was going to be real snooty about it, but instead I'm just going to say thanks. And we're going to move on with our lives and talk safeties. And I can guarantee everybody, this is not the show that you should come to if you want a specialist's episode and breakdown.
I voted for it, but I'm only 50% of the vote. You know?
I understand that. And I vote for the people. So we each have like 49.5% and the people are the other 0.5%. And their 0.5% voted for
no.
Or their percent voted for no.
You don't have to be snooty, Kyle, when the graphic that was produced came through with you with a crown on it.
Let's be honest. Let's be very transparent. I did not make that graphic. That was from our graphics guy, Rob. He slacked me and was like, I have a present for you. And I was like, oh, okay. Usually Rob is a big galaxy brain guy. So he'll sit here and go through like trade scenarios and stuff. And that's where the direction I thought he was going to go. And he's like, here you go. And this was like 4 hours before the poll ended. And I was like, oh, wow, that's super sick. I just hope I like finish it off and win now.
Did you? So you signed off on it. The first time you didn't see, you saw it was not when it came across the timeline.
No, I saw it a couple hours before the poll ended.
Because that was the first time I saw it, and I was like, oh, God.
What? I did not ask for it. I did not request it. I can screenshot the exchange if you'd like.
No, I believe you.
But I did think it was super cool.
Yeah. And now we get to look at that picture in Slack as your new Slack Avi, I guess is what they call it.
And my name
blessed.
Is Champ.
Right.
My name in Slack and my status is permanently set to winning shit.
Yeah, I noticed that the other day whenever I was DMing you and I'm like, what is going on?
You are ... winning.
So is that why you chose the ... symbol there? Or for
yes.
The, okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
Nicely done. So all
so
right.
We had a little fun with it, you know.
Of course. Of course.
Of course. Of course.
Shall we have some fun with the safeties available for 2020?
Yeah, I think there's some interesting conversations to be had here. So I'm looking forward to, you know, we haven't formally gone through what each other thinks of the top of the class and what order they're stacking. And I know there's some civil discourse as far as who thinks what about who. So let's dig in.
I think there's a lot of safeties, like at any point in the draft, I think there's a reasonable safety or two that you can have. I don't have, I think in the past there was like clusters where it was like, all right, these three or four guys are late ones, early twos, or this is kind of that third round range. I think it's kind of like more than any position, as I look at where these guys rank on my overall board, it's very consistent, but not no clusters, if that makes sense to you.
Yeah. And it's kind of how I feel like there's a big drop off after like the first seven guys.
Okay.
And then it gets into if you need guys early on day three, like there's a whole slew of them. And then you get into another consistent flow of like systemically, boom, here's a safety, boom, here's a safety, boom, here's a safety the rest of the way through. But I do feel like there's a firm top seven in the class.
Safeties are players that bring different things to the table. When you consider safeties that you appreciate, what are some of the top traits that matter most to you?
Versatility. Versatility is the big one for me because I want guys that I can play either single high, rolled into the slot. A lot of what we're going to talk about, what my top three or four safeties all can do and are all capable of doing. And the value for me there is keeping opposing coaching staffs on their heels as far as what their usage and utilization is. And not tipping to opposing quarterbacks, you know, what defensive strength or where your defense is going to rotate in the secondary after the snap. And if you have guys that are able to do, you know, a lot of different things, you have no primary tells based on your safety utilization on the back end of the defense.
Yeah, I'm with you. I value that a lot. And I felt like as I got deeper into the class, it felt like, all right, there's a guy with limited range. He's going to have to play closer to the line of scrimmage, split zones maybe. Maybe he can play on a tight end a little bit, but it wasn't the range and interchangeability was missing. And so that was a kind of a theme as I looked through my board. I'm like, yep, here's at the bottom where all the guys that I don't think can do much are to be found. So safety one, who you got, Kyle?
Xavier McKinney, Alabama.
Same.
I don't care that he ran 4.6 or whatever it was. I think he's got plenty of functional speed. Is he a guy I'm going to play a ton of press man on and leave in single high and ask him to go sideline to sideline? No. If that's your expectation, you're probably going to be disappointed. But for the versatility, I do think half field, third of field in cover three, rolling down into robber roll in the intermediates inside of 15 yards. We've seen him turn on the LSU tape and watch him play nickel linebacker and fill in the box. He's really good in alley defense and a pretty strong tackler. And I don't think man to man, he's had a ton of opportunities to shine, but I just think he does so much and can line up in so many places that I'm not going to bounce him and say, you know, you don't have the ability to go sideline to sideline as a single high free safety, so you can't be safety one.
I think his functional range works for me. You know, like he's not Earl Thomas over the top, right? But I never really questioned his range and ability to cover enough ground for the roles that I envisioned him playing. So really enjoyed his podium session at the Combine, talking about the versatility and what it puts on him in terms of preparation and preparing week to week to do something different and how much he embraces that. And so I think that's going to be really valuable at the next level. And so, no, he's not your one high safety, but everything else is so sound that I can live without that, even though maybe situationally it'll be fine. So I think he is the type of guy that can fill multiple roles. He's physical, plays the football, split zones will be fine. Good tape. I mean, he really put it all together. I thought he had two strong seasons, really, 18 and 19. And I think he's safety one.
Which makes safety two.
I think we're going to be really different here.
Okay.
I've got Antoine Winfield, safety from Minnesota.
Okay, I've got him safety three, so
okay,
we're
all
different,
right.
But
all right.
We're not offensively different.
All right, I didn't know where you were going to have him. You probably have Chin.
He's awesome.
No, I know that you know, but I mean, I know that you like some of these other guys too, so it wasn't...
I do.
Yeah, I thought maybe, I mean, if he was five, it wouldn't have surprised me, and that's not a slight on him. I just know that there's other guys you like. I think you have Jeremy Chin at safety two.
Jeremy Chin is safety four.
Oh, you have Delpit at two?
I do.
Okay.
So where do you have Delpit?
Three. So
okay, so let's do Delpit and Winfield since we just haven't flip flopped.
All right. Which one you want to do first?
Delpit is getting really cool in the NFL circles based on what we're hearing in this final stretch and the climax to the 2020 draft, where I think I read somewhere that somebody had insinuated he might be there like late day two now.
Ooh.
And it stems from medicals, no formal athletic testing, bad tackling. And the NFL's been weird about bad tacklers, right?
Yes.
But I would say this. Let's not forget Chauncey Gardner-Johnson. This happened last year.
But he got better at tackling in college.
Right, but he had one good year of it.
Right, and they hammered him.
And
for
they were like, well, you know, I'm glad you tackled good in 2018, but I need to see you do it over multiple years, and we didn't like your interviews, so you're going to fall to the fourth round of the Saints and be awesome. And he fell to the Saints in the fourth round, and he was awesome. Delpit, I think, is the best blend of versatility and explosiveness in this draft. The question is, where is he medically? You know, he had like a virtual pro day tape that came out, and I think they had him timed at like 4.38.
Of course.
I don't know if he legit runs 4.38, but he probably runs legit like mid high 4.4s.
Yeah.
And he is really fluid. He's long. If he puts it all together, he will be the best safety in the class. But I think there's more high variance with him than some of the other guys.
I'll say this about his tackling is that he doesn't finish well, but it's not a matter of not being physical and not being willing and not triggering downhill quickly. It's just, for whatever reason, he's just not balanced when he arrives at the ball carrier. He's got to square up and come to balance more effectively, but right. There's a willingness, if that's a buzzword for you, when you think about whether that's a tight end blocking or a running back blocking or a safety tackling, he's more than willing, and he is a physical football player. That's kind of what you mentioned there. It's like Derwin James fell to like almost out of the top 20. Darnell Savage was a top 25 pick, something like that, very close to that. So Terrell Edmonds was a first round pick. So the way the NFL has valued safeties over the last several years has been very confusing. And so a player like Delpit is not easy to project. Although, you know, when we started talking top 10, perhaps at points in 2018, I think that's not in the conversation anymore.
No, probably. I think that ship, safe to say that ship has sailed, right? Yeah. So where does he land? Like, what range do you think is realistic for him now?
I mean, would you blink an eye if he went to 25 to 32?
No, and I think there's a realistic chance he's out of the first round.
So it's like, I mean, his strike zone might be 25 to 60?
Yeah.
As weird as that sounds, but I mean, yeah. There's plenty of teams that need safeties and would love to get a player like him and that should bet on him. I mean, you've brought up the idea of him in Miami, and that's one I really like. When you've got man covers like Xavier Howard and Byron Jones, go get Grant Delpit and play over top of that and allow those guys to be aggressive knowing you have a rangy ball hawk behind them. Like, I think that he brings a lot of value to teams, especially that want to play a lot of man coverage.
Okay, so now let's get into our pitch on Antoine Winfield here.
What's not to like, you know? I mean, obviously,
durability.
That's it. I mean, he's a fifth year redshirt sophomore, which is one of the weirdest things I've ever said. But he's not old. He's not even 22. He's 21 years old. His tape's awesome, man. I mean, he's physical. I think he has really good processing skills. I think he's clutch. I mean, how many games did he win for Minnesota just with some type of game changing turnover that he was able to produce over the last couple of seasons? I mean, no, he's not the tallest guy, but I mean, he's 203 pounds. So he's got enough density about him to be able to be physical and for that to translate to the next level. I think he could play some man coverage from the slot if you want to buzz him down, but he's just got a really quick trigger. He sees the game very naturally. He gets where he's supposed to be and he's got great ball skills and he makes big plays. I just don't know what's not to like about this guy. Assuming he can stay healthy, which he did for 2019, but he could not in 2017 or 2018.
He's got those good bloodlines too.
Oh yeah.
He had some good tests. 5'9", 203, 30 1/8 inch arm. So he's not super long. If you're looking for complaints, playing him in man to man, I don't think he's going to have a ton of success playing through the body, but his reactive quickness and explosiveness that he does have. He jumped 36. He had 10-4 in the broad at over 200 pounds. He's a plenty functional athlete. I think he can do. He's like the Buda Baker this year. And I was super high on Buda Baker. I am not quite as high on Antoine Winfield, but I have Winfield safety 3, early second round value, flagged for medicals, 35th overall prospect in the draft.
Boom. Go get him, Cleveland.
Now's where it gets interesting.
Yeah. So I have Chin as my safety 4.
Same. Let's go.
Chin, I think, this is your talking point. Go ahead and talk about him as positionless and Isaiah Simmons like. That's something that appeals to
me. He's your backup plan to Isaiah Simmons.
Yeah.
If you're the New York Giants and you want to take Isaiah Simmons at 4, why would you not take the best available offensive tackle, get better positional value for your pick? And if you want that kind of athlete, you have that exact same kind of athlete. And I mean, like, look at the testing numbers. They are almost identical. And he did it at 221 pounds versus Isaiah Simmons doing it at 238 or whatever he was.
I personally, my caution with that idea is that I think Simmons can play Mike, and I don't think Chin can.
No, I don't think he can.
That's really where I get hung up on that just a bit. But, I mean, his athletic profile and the plays he made in college were like sick. I mean, just some really rare plays on the ball, some really explosive moments where he triggers downhill and just lights people up. I don't think he's a very consistent processor. And I like the idea of having him as a positionless player that you kind of have him do specific assignment driven things, you know, like maybe you're playing the Chiefs and he's your Travis Kelce neutralizer, or you're playing the Ravens and he's the guy that can spy on Lamar and, you know, kind of challenge him sideline to sideline, or it's a screen heavy team and you can put him on the field in situations where you know that he's got that ability to trigger and go make plays on those types of plays. I really like him in that role. I just think from a processing perspective right now, I don't know that he's ready to go, but if you can give him some like individual roles that he's game planned up to fill, I think that he can help you not be dictated by offenses like offenses want to right now in today's NFL.
Right. He's a long-term chess piece that is going to need a simplified role early on.
Yeah.
Until you get him up to speed with having played at the FCS level and getting him up to speed with the NFL.
So I don't think Duggar's our next guy for either one of us, Kyle Duggar from Illinois Ryan, but can we get to him now? Because I feel like people view these guys similarly in terms of that type of role. Mm-hmm. And I've seen a lot of ideas for Duggar. Like Bills fans are obsessed with the idea of him playing like big slot, and his tape, nothing about watching Kyle Duggar at Illinois Ryan suggests that that's a role for him. What he did at Lenore Ryan is he played 20 yards off the ball, maybe 15, slow played, and just triggered downhill and blew shit up. I mean, it wasn't nothing traditional about the way he played. So if you're asking him to mirror and match from the slot and play quick where the action unfolds very fast, I don't know what you watched at Lenore Ryan that gives you the warm fuzzies that he can do that anytime soon at the next level.
Yeah, I just think he's very raw, right? And he had the opportunity at Lenore Ryan to be far and away the best athlete on the field, freak athlete. I like him best. You can get him as a nickel linebacker, but I want him as like, he's got to be the alley fill guy if you're going to play him in deeper portions, and if you're going to play him on the second level, he's got to be the will to scrape and chase and hunt the football. It was the only roles I feel really good about him probably in his first year or two, and I think he's got a much longer way to go than Jeremy Chin. You talked about some of the plays that Chin made. Chin made some inconsistent plays, but he also made like some really good anticipatory, high-end range and surreal plays down the field, too. Yes. And I didn't really see a lot of that from Duggar in the plays. Some of the highlight clips that I've seen pulled, it's like, okay, the quarterback looked like he was throwing it with his non-dominant hand, and that's how long the ball was in the air for him to get over there and make a play on the ball. And that's not a knock on Kyle Duggar's athletic ability, and I think in the right aggressive style system where you can use him as an attack player and you can get him in those two roles where you're not asking him to play out in space and feel route combinations and stuff, he can, you know, have an impact for you fairly early on. But like, he's a three for me, and he's safety seven for me, because I think he's got a long way to go as far as, you know, the football IQ side of the game.
Yeah, safety six for me, and I have a third round grade on him. And I'll say this between Chin and Duggar, Chin's 2 years younger than Duggar. So if you're an age person, that's I think that's boom, fairly significant.
There you go. Lock it in.
So we have what, in between this Chin Duggar tier, I at least have Ashton Davis from Cal. I'm sure you do as well.
I do, and then I got one more.
Really? Who is it?
You're going to lose your mind, but I'm super
high. I know who it is.
Yeah, you do know because you started to say it.
Yeah. So Ashton Davis, I mean, he's your center fielder, ball hawk, inconsistent tackler, but he's physical. I think he can play man coverage. He didn't do a ton of it at Cal, but I think in a true free safety role, I mean, Davis is kind of a tailor-made guy, and he's got really great athletic ability.
Yeah, I like Davis. I don't think his run fits were great. You know, you mentioned the tackling. He's not afraid to hit. He's a little too sharp coming downhill at times. And I don't think he's ever going to be like a dominant tackler. But he's got track speed, and he's made some really nice conversions to get into the body and squeeze routes on guys down the field in pressure looks. And then Cal ran an aggressive defense last year. So I think he's your best fit for like if you want a true single high free safety, Davis is probably the best bet you'll get in this year's class.
All right. So your safety that's sandwiched in there is Aloe Gilman from Notre Dame.
Yes.
All right, the floor is yours.
I love his tape, man. He's not fast. He ran, ran 4.6 was his formal time, but he was on the internet afterwards, and he had a good point. He's like, dude, like they ran two-tenths of a second off my clock before I'm even out of the blocks. So I think he's a little faster than 4.6. I don't think he's sub 4.5 or anything like that. He's probably a mid-4.5s guy for speed, but you turn on his 2018 tape, and as long as you don't look at the Clemson tape, you got some great plays on his tape. He's instinctive. I think he tackles well. He is a bat out of hell coming down into fills and fits, and he's a good tackler. So Gilman, for me, is my off-the-reservation guy this year that I'm really high on. I got a 2 on him. I think, you know, if you don't ask him to play isolated in deep coverage, you can get a lot of value out of Aloe Gilman.
I have Gilman sort of early day 3.
Oh, man. Okay, that's fine.
I have this little cluster. I know I said I didn't have clusters, but there's this.
Apparently you do.
Yeah, well, they range from 76 on my board to 110, so call that a cluster if you want to. They're all separated by 10 or more spots. So it's there. Anyways, these are the guys I think in the middle. I think this is the value spot of this safety class. And I have Kayvon Wallace from Clemson, who I think if you want a guy that can come and play some man coverage from the slot, he can do it. I think he's pretty solid across the board. He has some low lights. There's no question about it, but I love the way he competes. Geno Stone, safety from Iowa. I think he's a perfect cover 2, cover 3 safety. Terrell Burgess from Utah. I think he's the C-minus or the B-plus version of Kayvon Wallace. And then Kenny Robinson from West Virginia /XFL. I'm a fan. I mean, he's got to clean up some of his tackling and coming to balance, but like his ball skills may be the best in the class. And I do believe he could play one high, and I think he has a lot of range on the back end, and he could play some man coverage as well. So that's my little value bucket, if you will. I think guys that could be your third, maybe even to the fourth round starters and stars on sub packages.
Yeah, Kayvon Wallace is a good call. I really like his tape. I also like Terrell Burgess from Utah. I liked his tape as another guy kind of cut from the same cloth. I'm out on Geno Stone.
Why?
I don't think he's athletic enough. He's Jordan Richards.
You've said that before, and it continues to bother me.
Okay, well, explain to me why he's not Jordan Richards.
Okay, so, I mean, what do you think is functional athleticism? Because his timed athleticism is his, I mean, it's right there with Gilman or somebody, you know, he ran faster than Xavier McKinney.
Yeah, but you watch him in space. He's an awkward mover in space.
I just think he's always where he's supposed to be.
Okay. How many times did they ask him to be anywhere that wasn't 5 yards away from where he lined up?
He played cover 2 safety. I don't know. I think you're a hater.
Joe, pull up this man's mock draftable chart. Pull it up.
You're going to talk to me about a 9.8 broad and a 33.5-inch vertical jump.
And 4.62 and 29.25-inch arms.
He had a hip flexor injury during the combine.
Okay. Well, the only thing that he was above the 33rd percentile in was weight.
You know, I look, when you're battling a hip flexor, and at least you went out there and competed and tried to do that stuff, man.
At least Alohi Gilman ran 6.81 in the three cone.
Okay. You don't like Geno Stone. I get it.
No, I don't. I'm sure he's a great dude. Well, let's get that out.
I think in the fourth round, he'd be a nice pick for somebody that I think you're
two rounds too high for a guy who's probably going to play a lot of special teams for you. I'm going to be honest. The rest of this class is special teams guys for me. I struggle with, I really liked Antoine Brooks's tape, but he's,
what does he do that translates to the NFL?
Right. That's what overhang. I mean. Like, yeah. He spent more time on the end man as the line of scrimmage.
Yeah. He's a weird player.
So probably going to play special teams. He's a great tackler. Brandon Jones was billed as this big safety. And do you see his measurements?
Yeah, they weren't what you thought they were going to be.
Brandon Jones was like sub. Yeah, he's 5'11", 198, and 30 and 1/8 inch arms.
Yeah.
So he's, for a big guy, he's very small. Cameron Curl, I like a lot as like a career coverages guy and probably your fourth safety on your roster. Lavonta Taylor, you know, has really struggled with working through injuries over the course of the past few years. He had a prominent back issue. I like Jalen Elliott, but he's nowhere near as athletic as what he needs to be.
He was my one player. Guy was a UDFA though. What does he do?
He's smart, but he from an athleticism perspective, he is so limited. His and then on the other end of the spectrum, you got the Michigan guys like Metellus and Hudson, who are good functional athletes, but they just the way that Michigan used them. I know you said, you know, you had some issues with the way that they were used, but from a football IQ perspective, I don't think either one of those guys gives you anything close to what you want.
I agree with you. I have my drop off after the guys we talked about. So you have a Legarius Sneed as a safety or a corner. Or did you not do him?
I did not do.
Oh, Sneed. He's the intriguing guy.
Are you going to make me go get online like right now and do him? Like I'm trying to be done with Tate.
I think there's three players that you need to do that you haven't done yet.
Okay, Sneed.
Sneed. I don't know if you've done Kenny Robinson. I think you should, and I think you need to do Darnell Mooney.
He's that guy that's getting that late pub and push, right? So. You're Mooney, not going to have a choice. You're going to have to do him.
I'm not sure what KJ Hamler does better than Darnell Mooney.
Oh, really?
I'm just not sure about it.
It's the luxury of not being done tape yet, as you get to pick up on some of these names as they filter out. It's like, I'm over it. I don't want to watch tape. All right, I'll definitely watch those three.
He stacks guys, and it's over. And he makes a play in the ball, man. He's nice. He's small, but so is KJ Hamler. I don't know. I just don't know what the difference is. One wears a Tulane helmet, which is beautiful, by the way, and one wears a Penn State helmet.
All right. Well, guess that does it for the safety class, huh? Unless you got any parting thoughts.
I'm two rounds too high on Geno Stone. You're two rounds too high on Alohi Gilman. So there we go.
Okay. We'll meet in the middle.
Punters tomorrow, Kyle. Punters.
Yeah, punters.
Sterling
Hoffinger,
Arian Sipos, Braden Mann.
Long snappers on Wednesday.
Michael Turk. I don't know the long snappers this year, but I can talk punters. Rodrigo Blankenship's the kicker. We know that. Is there another one? I don't know.
I'm just trying to think of the Iowa State long snapper.
Oh, yeah. He's supposed to. No, I know a snapper. Ferguson from LSU. He's supposed to be the truth.
There you go.
Yeah. Blake Ferguson. Yep.
Yeah, there you go. Good job, Joe.
Here's your draftable long snapper. The Redskins will take him at some point.
All right, we're shutting that. There's your specialist recap for the 2020 NFL Draft. Thanks for listening to Draft Dudes. Come back tomorrow for Takes on Takes. Kyle Krabs signing off with Joe Marino.